Happy December from Folk Files, a podcast that explores the origins of a variety of traditional folk songs. In this special holiday episode, we're going to examine the old, wild, wonderful world of wassailing. In the background, you can hear Wassail Song, an arrangement by Rafe Vaughan Williams that is one of the two best-known versions of wassailing songs today, especially for those who ever sang in a choir. The version currently playing is from the Brown University Madrigal Singers. It is also known as the Gloucestershire Wassail, because it was collected from a singer in Gloucestershire in the early 20th century and was printed in the Oxford Book of Carols in 1928. The specific lyrics used here are older, dating to at least 1813. And as for the idea of a wassailing song, that's ancient. Over the course of this episode, we'll talk about the meaning of wassailing, the meaning of wassail, how wassailing differs from caroling, and how the tradition has changed throughout time and across cultures. I mentioned that this is a special holiday episode, and part of the reason for that is that I'm home for the holidays, so instead of the cozy quiet of a studio, you might hear some jolly honks and sirens and jackhammers in the background. Don't worry, it's just New York City wishing you a happy new year. The idea for this episode came from the responses I received to a video I made a couple years ago, where I performed the Gower Wassail and talked about the origins of the wassailing tradition. I've shared that video on the Folk Files Facebook and Instagram pages, so if you've seen it, some of this initial information will be familiar to you. But there will be a lot more detail and a few twists and turns. The word wassail comes from an Old English greeting, washal, or wasthuhal. For those unfamiliar with Old English, sometimes referred to as Anglo-Saxon, it is the Germanic precursor to modern English, and it is what Beowulf and poems like The Seafarer and The Wanderer are written in. It was spoken up until shortly after the Norman invasion in 1066, when it started mixing with French and turning into Middle English. Washal literally means be healthy, which you can guess from the fact that it sounds like the modern was, past tense of to be, hail. It was a greeting. Strangely, our knowledge of the term washal doesn't appear to come from Anglo-Saxon sources. I found a few scholars who claimed that washal could be found in Beowulf, but after some research, it seems like translators chose the term wassail. For example, where Seamus Heaney, my favorite translator of Beowulf, writes, "Their wassail was over," the original text says, "Tha was after wiste," where wiste is actually the act of greeting, and the word hal is not used. Instead, we get our knowledge of washal from mostly Latin sources. The most famous example is Geoffrey of Monmouth's History of the Kings of Britain, written in the 12th century. In it, there is a story about King Vortigern, a Roman king of Britain from the 5th century, who visits the Saxon leader Hengist. Hengist's daughter Renwine, or Rowena, brings Vortigern a drink and says, washal. Well, the Latin text technically says, wacht heil. Vortigern doesn't understand the Saxon language and asks his interpreter to translate. The translator explains that Renwine wished the king good health, and that the traditional way to respond is to say, drink heil. That tradition was common throughout England. The ceremonial cup would be passed around, and the first to drink from it would say, washal, and the next person would say, drink heil. So, wassail was a greeting, but you could also refer to the act of greeting as wassail, the noun form. This was true even over 500 years later, during Shakespeare's time. In Love's Labour's Lost, Byron says, "He is wit's peddler, and retails his wares at wakes and wassails, meetings, markets, fairs." But to make things even more confusing, wassail also refers to the drink itself. Now keep in mind, wassail is spelled the exact same way as wassail, just to keep you on your toes. In Geoffrey of Monmouth's story, it is likely that the wassail was a type of spiced wine made with ginger, cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg. But at the time, that was a very fancy type of wassail, not to mention expensive. The wine and spices would all have to have been imported. Wassail made with ale or cider was far more accessible. So, up until this point, we've seen wassail drunk all out of one glass, like in Health to the Company. But in the 13th century, the wassail bowl starts appearing. It was made from wood or metal to withstand wear, and people would dip or float pieces of cake or bread in it, possibly to help reduce the acidity. This is where we get the term toast. We raise our glasses in a toast because centuries ago, people liked to dip crispy bread in their ceremonial drink.
We'll sail and we'll sail over the town. The carpet is white and the eyelid is brown. The carpet is made of the good ashen tree, and so is the malt of the best barley.
For it's your wassail, and it's our wassail, and it's joy be to you and the jolly wassail.
Now, how does music enter into all of this? The song you just heard was the Somerset Wassail, as performed by Magpie Lane. You'll notice that they say wassail all over the town. So when did the drink start leaving the mead hall and the home and get into the streets? It seems to have begun with pagan farmers. An anonymous record from medieval Britain says, "They go into the ox house to the oxen with the wassail bowl and drink to their health." Everyone was drinking to the humans' health. Why couldn't the animals get in on it? Or the trees? Or the spirits of nature? Farmers would wassail their crops and animals in the hopes that it would bring plenty and fertility. In the orchards, people would place cider-soaked bread in the tree branches to ward off evil spirits. This seems to be where the element of noise started. Participants would bang pots and pans and eventually fire guns to ward off bad spirits. Then voices were added to the mix. This tradition lasted until at least the 18th century. And by the 17th century, people started bringing the wassail bowl into the streets and offering booze for money. By some accounts, the wassail wasn't good. One man complained that the wenches would go around and make you drink, quote, the slabby stuff. Ugh.
God bless the master of this house, likewise the mistress too. For the little children that round the table go, love and joy come to you, and to you your wassail too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year, and God send you a happy new year.
But it wasn't always the wassailers who offered the drink. Some versions of the tradition are much closer to our modern-day caroling, where wassailers would sing in the hopes that they'd be offered some wassail. This was especially common around Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, when there was typically a festival atmosphere, where servants could enter the manor using the front door and were offered drinks and presents by the lord and lady. That's why so many wassailing songs, like the very well-known one that I just played, performed by the Kingsingers, have a verse dedicated to the master and mistress. Like any festival practice, this version of wassailing was a way the upper classes used to maintain the loyalty of the lower classes. But it didn't always work that way. There were always troublemakers, and wassailing was definitely closer to trick-or-treating than modern-day caroling. One set of lyrics has the line, "We have come to claim our right, and if you don't open the door, we'll lay you flat upon the floor." Wassailers would often forcefully enter a house and make a lot of noise until they were offered alcohol. In 1679, there is an account of a man who refused to give wassailers perry, a form of pear cider, and they threw rocks through his windows. From these stories, it is understandable why at first the Puritans and then the Victorians wanted to distance themselves from the practice of wassailing. Puritans wanted to do away with Christmas altogether because they considered it thoroughly pagan. During the Victorian era, caroling was invented to replace wassailing. They removed the emphasis on alcohol and generally made the practice more religious. Many of the Christmas carols that we know today were made popular during the Victorian era. Here's an excellent version of one of my favorite carols that was solidified by the Victorians, sung by the folk singer Ian Giles.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
You know what God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen sounds a lot like? The Yorkshire Wassailing Song, sung here by the Electra Women's Choir.
We've been a while upon the
Puritans did their best to stamp out pagan practices like wassailing in the northern parts of the New World. But the farther south you go, the more likely it is that you'll find rowdier traditions that might have roots in wassailing. For example, the tradition of John Canoe, or Junkanoo, is celebrated in the American South and throughout the Caribbean, most notably Jamaica. During Junkanoo, people dress in elaborate costumes and masks. In early accounts, participants were mostly enslaved people who would march from place to place and dance in exchange for money or whiskey. These days, it's more of a festival or parade with plenty of music and dance. Here's a taste of the music from Junkanoo, collected by Smithsonian Folkways in Jamaica and released in 1954. While there are claims that Junkanoo has some ties to European wassailing traditions, that may be a biased viewpoint, since most of the early historic records of Junkanoo are from white observers. Current practitioners say that the tradition was brought over from Africa. The name could come from a folk hero called John Canoe, or it could be a bastardization of Jean Inconnu, French for unknown people or strangers. While we can't know for sure if it is related to wassailing, we can celebrate Junkanoo as a similarly festive and incredibly vibrant tradition.
We hope that your barley may prosper and grow, that you may have plenty enough to bestow
on our wassail, 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 and joy come to our jolly wassail.
So, what if you want to be a wassailer? Hopefully without throwing rocks at anyone's house, of course. Well, first off, you'll need some wassail. The most common current version of wassail is called lamb's wool. It is ale or cider that is thickened with cream, sweetened with sugar, and has frothed roasted apples in it, sometimes called crabs. Some people say that it gets its name from the fluffy appearance of the roasted apples, but others say that it's named after Lammas Wool, a Celtic festival on November 1st that's roughly translated as Day of the Apple Fruit. Some argue that lamb's wool is a precursor of eggnog. Once you have your wassail, you'll need to choose your wassailing song. And there are many to choose from. At one point, most English villages had their own version of the wassailing song. So far in this episode, you've heard a wassailing song from Gloucestershire, Somerset, and Yorkshire, and the most recent clip was from the Cornish wassail, as performed by Lady Masury, Jimmy Aldridge, and Sid Goldsmith. As I mentioned at the start of this episode, one of my favorites is the Gower Wassail, which was first recorded by Phil Tanner in 1936. Here's a bit of Phil Tanner singing it.
Wassail, throughout all this town, our cup it is white and our ale it is brown. Our wassail is made of good ale and cake, some nutmeg and ginger, the best we could get. Al-di-dal, 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 al-di-dee. Al-di-der, al-di-dee, sing to the lido.
Gower is in the southern part of Wales. The refrain is what's called falderal, and it is a version of vocalization that is very Welsh. The song Deck the Halls is originally Welsh, and what we know as falalala used to be a version of falderal that went something like this, as sung by Rhodri McDonagh.
Gore plesir ar nos galan falderla da dampara ti a thana theili dithan falderla da dataram. Calon lan a chwrw melyn, ffadl-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-am. Penis moyn a llais a delyn, ffadl-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-dar-d
the song that started this whole journey, in its entirety. But before I say goodbye, I'd like to remind you that you can find all the clips that I've played in this episode in the episode notes. If you have any corrections, comments, or questions, feel free to reach out to me at folkfilespodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram or Facebook at folkfilespodcast. For example, thank you to the listener who helped me with my Scottish pronunciation after listening to episode 1. The ceremonial cup is a cwech rather than a cwech. Similarly, if I have any Welsh listeners, I'd appreciate coaching on my falderol. Happy holidays, and may your apple trees blossom and grow. Washal.
Bye.